about tonight. In this talk, I want to speak about the world of our experience. Today is our second day of the retreat, which means the second day of our journey into our body, heart and mind, or the second day of our exploration of this body, heart and mind. Meaning trying to find out what actually is this body, or what does it consist of, and this mind, what is the mind, what is there, what is really present. And so during these 2 days you have probably made already some discoveries, or many discoveries, and in the coming days you're going to make more discoveries of these different processes happening in the body, heart and mind. And I found it's really amazing what we can discover by just sitting still or by just walking up and down or by just being mindful of eating. Deep insights into the true nature of the body, the mind, can be made. And sometimes some funny discoveries can be made. Like some years ago, I was teaching in Perth, in Australia, as a 2-week retreat, and one of the meditators was a man in his 60s, and he had done many years of meditation practice already. He had attended many retreats also with me before, and one day I gave the instruction or encouragement to be even more mindful during the eating, to go into more details of what actually is happening when I eat, on the level of the body, of movements, smelling, tasting, etc., and on the level of the mind. And then a couple of days later, when he came for a personal interview, he said that the other day, during the eating, he discovered that while chewing the food, his tongue was actually moving. Imagine, more than 60 years he had been eating several times a day and chewing. But whether in daily life nor in previous retreats, he had never noticed that the tongue is moving while chewing the food. Quite amazing what we can discover and what we don't notice in our day-to-day lives. As I said, it's quite amazing what we can discover by simply looking inside. And as Patricia said last night, like this quote, something like, in this fat and long body, the whole universe can be discovered. And it's true. We don't need to travel all around the world or into the universe. We simply need to look inside. And if you had told me before, when I was young, I could not have believed it. When I was 26, I took my backpack in order to discover the world, to travel around the world, and it turned out to be a 2-year trip around the world, to many different countries, many different areas, and this was an adventure, at times quite exciting or thrilling, other times saddening. What I saw and experience. But then, when I did longer meditation retreats and got deeper into my meditation practice, I realized that by just sitting still, for example, in the sitting meditation, so many adventures, so many discoveries, so many new things that I realized and came to see. So this trip into the far corners of the body and the heart and the mind then was even a bigger adventure. It was more exciting, it was more thrilling than the most exciting experience I had on my travels around the world. So, on this journey of exploration of what is happening in here, in this body, heart, mind process, one quality is of paramount importance. We have mentioned it many, many times already, and Patricia has talked about it last night in her talk, this quality of sati, of mindfulness or awareness. And as she so beautifully explained, it has this quality of not wobbling, not shaking. And because it's not wobbling, it can stay face to face with the experience. It can be in direct contact with a chosen object or experience. And through this, non-confusion is there. It functions. And in our practice of Vipassana meditation or insight meditation, this quality of sati, mindfulness, is a basic quality that is very much needed. Other qualities and mental states are needed as well, but this one is really very basic, very important. Because, as we say, we want to see things as they are. We want to see clearly. And to see clearly is actually what the word Vipassana means. Vipassana, to see things clearly. So to see things the way they are, the way they really are, and not the way we think they are, or the way we would like them to be. So, then what is this world of our experience? Basically, there are two groups. One is the physical processes, and the other area are the mental processes. So whatever we can experience in this world, in us, around us, it's either a physical process or it's a mental process. Or in regard to us, it's the body, that's the physical process, material process, and the mind, with all its thoughts, emotions, imaginations, and so on. And the Buddha said, that's basically all there is in this universe. Physical processes, material processes, and mental processes. And so we can ask ourselves, is this true or not? And the Buddha never asked anybody to believe blindly what he said, but he said, I have come to see things in this way, so try it out for yourself. Go and investigate for yourself. Find out whether that's true or not, whether that's your experience or not. In one of his discourses, which is the basis for the practice of Vipassana meditation, the Buddha talked of the four foundations of mindfulness. Patricia mentioned it already last night in her talk. Satipatthana, foundations for mindfulness. Or some people talk of the fields for mindfulness or abiding of mindfulness, where our mindfulness can abide. So when the Buddha talked of these four fields or four foundations, that's just like an extension or elaboration on saying the world exists of physical processes and mental processes. One foundation deals with the physical processes, and three foundations deal with the mental processes. So then the mental processes are divided into three different foundations or groups, because it's helpful to further divide these mental processes. So the first foundation of mindfulness are physical processes, and including our body. Made up of materiality, physicality, and so we can be mindful of what is happening in the body. That's what we have been doing in these 2 days. Not only, but mostly. The Buddha mentioned different ways of how we can be aware of the body, physical processes, and one of them is to be aware of the breath. And as we have said, that's a very good object for our mindfulness practice, because the breath is always present. It's never absent. Otherwise you would be dead if you don't breathe anymore. So that's a very convenient object, and we have been trying to be mindful in regard to this experience of the breath, feeling it as it manifests in our body, be it around the belly, be it around the chest, the little movements, vibrations, tension growing bigger, tension growing less. So in this way we can be aware of some bodily process. Another way of being aware of the body is to be aware in which posture our body is. So to simply be aware whether we are sitting, how we normally begin our sitting meditation, take a few moments of being fully aware the body is sitting here. Then we can be aware of standing. We can be aware of walking, in the walking meditation. This is what we are mostly aware of. And then the fourth posture is lying down. We can also be aware when we lie down. Maybe in the evening when we go to bed, or when we take some rest after lunch, lying down, you are aware the body is lying. Or another way in regard to mindfulness of the body, of physical processes, is related is the four elements, how they manifest in our body, how they manifest in anything material. And these are the four elements of earth, water, fire, and wind. And when we talk of the earth element or the wind element, so then we do not mean real earth or the wind that is blowing and that we feel. But these elements, they stand for certain properties or qualities that we can find in earth, water, fire, and wind. So the earth element stands for the property of solidity. And things that are solid, they are either hard or soft, or anything in between. So this means whenever we feel something as hard or soft, this means that we are aware of the earth element with its specific characteristics of hardness or softness or solidity. So when you sit on a wooden bench and you sit down, it probably feels hard. And being aware of the hardness, of that experience of hardness, means that you are aware of the earth element as it manifests as hardness. Or when you touch the towel, it feels rather soft. And so this experience of softness is a manifestation of the earth element with its specific characteristic of softness. Or when you touch a cup, it feels hard, so you are aware of this hardness. Or then when you chew the inner part of bread, which is rather soft, then you are aware of softness. So whenever you come across a sensation of hardness or softness, then you experience the so-called earth element. But in actual practice, you do not need to reflect that, ah, this hardness, this is a manifestation of the earth element. That's just for your general information and knowledge. In the actual practice of meditation, what matters is to be in direct contact with the experience. So to experience the hardness, really go into it. How does that feel? What is the actual experience of hardness or softness? Then the second element is the water element. And this water element stands for the properties of liquid and cohesion. So any experience that in which we feel something like being liquid or something flowing, that means that we experience the water element. So it could be an experience of kind of some energy flowing through the body. So we just feel this flowing. So we are aware of this flowing, of this experience. Or sometimes when it's very hot and we sweat, we may feel drops of sweat running down the chest. Something flowing down. Sometimes it also happens that tears come up, we cry, and then we feel the tears flowing down our cheeks. So we notice that sensation of flowing, something flows down. That's one way of experiencing this flowing characteristic of the water element. There is also another way of experiencing it, and when I experienced that for the very first time, it felt so strange. I thought, cannot be. I was practicing sitting meditation, and I only know that at that time there was no emotion of sadness or thinking of some sad incident. I was probably just with the rising and falling of the belly. And then it felt as if a tear was flowing down my cheek. It was very strange. I was not sad. There was no reason for me to cry, to tear. And I dismissed it and went back to the movement of the belly. But again, very clear, like a tear flowing down the cheek. And I noticed it and, how come? No, cannot be. Dismissed it again. And then it was there again. And then I could not stand it. I had to check it out whether it was really a tear flowing down or not. So I took my hand to touch my cheek. And it was completely dry. It was not here. So I could not make sense of it. The following day I had a personal interview with my teacher, and I told him the experience and kind of asked him what happened. And then he explained to me, oh yes, you know, this is another way of experiencing the water element, with its characteristic of flowing. So it can be an experience like that. You know, nothing, no tear is actually flowing, but it really feels like a drop of water, tear is flowing down. Same can be experienced as, you know, thinking sweat is running down the body, and then no sweat at all. The other aspect of the water element is the cohesion, like sticking together. Sometimes we get this feel that somehow when we touch a cup, you know, we touch the cup, we feel the hardness, maybe it's warm. And then when we let go, it feels as if the fingers had been sticking a little bit to the cup. You know, it's just like, a bit sticky. You know, it takes a little bit of energy to separate the finger from the cup. So this, in this way, the cohesion can be experienced. Cohesion is that quality in matter that holds things together, that also holds an atom together. So the electrons do not kind of just fly off somewhere else, but that they stay within a certain limit. Or a very practical example is, for example, if you want to make bread, you take some flour, and you probably have the flour in a bag, and you pour the flour out on the table. And then the flour stays as a heap of flour on the table together. And the fact that there is a heap of flour now on the table is due to this cohesion. So the flour, the little particles, stay together in one place. If that quality or property of cohesion would not be there, then as soon as you empty the bag of rice, of flour on the table, the flour would disperse all over the kitchen. Wouldn't be very practical. You would have quite a big mess. So this water element can be experienced quite clearly and directly in our body or in relation to touching something. Then the third element is the fire element, as it is called, but we also can call it the element of temperature. And the special properties of the fire element is heat and cold, and anything in between, warm. So to experience heat or cold in our body, that's very obvious. When we are in a very warm room, we feel warm, maybe we even get hot. When we go outside, when it's cold, we feel the cold on our face, on the finger. If we're not dressed warm enough, the body starts to feel cold. When we touch objects, we feel the temperature. The handle of a door is most likely rather cold. When we pour hot water into our cup and then touch the cup, it feels hot. When we take a shower, we feel the water on our body warm. Or maybe you take a cold shower, you feel the cold water running over your body. So this is quite clear and easy to experience. Cold, warm, hot. And so any experience of feeling cold, hot, warm means you are experiencing the fire element with its specific characteristics of cold, warm, and hot. And the last of these elements is the wind element, and it has the special characteristics of motion, movement, vibration, also support. Also this element manifests quite obviously and clearly in the walking meditation. We move, the body moves, the leg, the foot moves. Being aware of that movement means we are aware of the wind element. Also in the sitting meditation, when we are aware of the breath. Many of us notice some movement happening in the area of the belly or the chest. Slight movement, in, out, expanding, contracting. And then in all the other activities, getting up, brushing your teeth, putting on your shoes, eating, cleaning, etc., you are engaging in all different kinds of movements. And being aware of these movements means you are aware of the wind element. And this is also quite a clear element that we can be aware of. And that's a very interesting one because, for example, when we take the walking meditation, we can see how we shift from being caught in concepts and ideas to see things clearly on an absolute level, not on a conventional level. When we start out with our practice, when we walk, you probably have the notion, I walk, I take a step, my right leg is moving, my left leg is moving. So we are still caught up in this concept of me walking, my leg, my foot taking a step, and so on. And as practice deepens, mindfulness getting sharper, the concentration deeper, so then we come to experience this movement, let's say of the leg, of the foot, simply as movement. And then we start to lose the notion of the foot or the leg. It kind of is no longer there, but we clearly know something is moving. And something is touching at the ground. But we no longer think in terms of my foot is moving or my foot is now touching the ground. We simply are aware movement is happening and now touching, hardness is happening. And so, this is kind of the normal way that it is happening. Initially, we have all these mental images or concepts or ideas. Yeah, my leg is moving or my hand is stretching out and turning the head. But gradually, we are getting more into the movement itself, really feeling it, knowing it from inside. And with that, this notion of a head or an arm or a foot goes into the background, and finally we simply no longer have it, no longer pops up. And later on in the practice, as a further step, it can happen that we lose the notion of the body. We know that movement is happening and there is the knowing of this movement, but there is no longer a me, no longer this body that I'm so attached to there. And this can be quite a shock or frightening for people, because all their life long they have lived in this my body with this shape and form, and then this disappears. Whoa. But this means shifting from living in concepts and ideas to seeing things as they truly are. But this can also be very helpful in coming to realize that what we thought is so real, me, my body, my hand, and this shape, this is really just a very superficial idea of what really is. So it opens up a whole world of, wow, if this is the case, well, then many other things might be different from the way I thought they really are. in my first years when I lived in Burma, in a monastery meditation center, there was a man from Holland, and he had an experience that he could not make sense of, and so he thought he was going crazy, and so he decided to go back to his country. He was doing walking meditation, and he had already gone through the stage of kind of losing the notion of the foot or the leg, and so he was being aware of the movement of the foot, the movement, and movement for him had always been kind of a smooth movement from A to B. That's what he thought was movement. All his life long, movement had been like that. And so one afternoon, as he was doing the walking meditation, this movement, which had always been so smooth, it started to get a bit rugged or jagged, not so smooth anymore. And so he thought, something is weird. I have to make it smooth again. So he tried very hard. And the harder he tried, the more staccato the movement went. And he thought, no, that cannot be, you know. Movement is something smooth from here to here. And he tried very hard. And the movement got more staccato and separated into parts. And by the evening, he really thought, no, I think I'm going crazy, you know. I need to go back to Holland, otherwise, no. And so the next morning, he went to see the teacher and told him about the experience and said, Sayadaw, the way of addressing a teacher in Burma, I think I'm going crazy, so I better go back to Holland, so I say goodbye to you. But the teacher looked at him and said, no, don't go home, don't leave, because you are not getting crazy, you're actually recovering from craziness. And then the teacher went on to explain that coming to see the movement in a series of separate little movements, one after the other, that was actually reality. That the notion of seeing movement as one small thing from A to B, that was just a very superficial notion of what movement was. And so hearing that explanation, he realized, okay, I'm not getting crazy, and he stayed. So these are the four elements which manifest in our body, and actually our body and everything, like this cushion, this table, the lamp, the gong, the clock, the house, the trees, everything material consists of these four elements. And that's what we can experience, what we can see, what we can feel. So whatever we feel in our body or touching things, it's these different sensations of flowing, of warm, of cold, of movement, of hard or soft. That's all. And as I already said, forget about these four elements, and in the practice, just be with whatever sensation you feel in your body. That's the important thing, to realize that. Then, the second foundation of mindfulness is to be aware of Vedana. And so, this and then the other two are dealing with the mind, mental processes. And to single out Vedana is very important, because this Vedana, they play a crucial role in how we relate to experience. Vedana is again a word from the Pali language, and it refers to the three modes of how we can experience anything in the body or the mind. So an experience can be felt as pleasant, or it can be experienced as unpleasant, or it's somewhere in between, neutral. So these are the three Vedana. Whatever we experience in the body has this coloring of being either pleasant, like tingling can be experienced as pleasant, aching is usually experienced as unpleasant, and maybe the abdominal movement is neither pleasant nor unpleasant, so it's neutral. And also whatever we experience in the mind, any thought, any emotion is accompanied with one of these three colors. So joy accompanied by pleasantness, sadness accompanied by unpleasantness, and a trivial thought will be neutral. And as I said, these feeling tones, so when we talk of, it's a bit difficult to translate Vedana. Feeling tones is one possible translation, but you know, it's not feeling in the sense of feeling hot, feeling cold, feeling happy, feeling unhappy, but as I said, it's just pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And so this Vedanas, it's so important to know what Vedana is present, because they usually condition our reaction, our habitual conditioned reaction. So usually when there is a pleasant Vedana, agreeable, nice, the usual reaction is one of holding on, wanting, not letting go. We want more of what is pleasant and nice. When the Vedana is unpleasant, then the habitual reaction is one of not wanting, pushing it away, aversion, frustration, ill will, etc. And in regards to the neutral Vedana, the habitual reaction is one of not being interested, indifference, because it's not pleasant, it's not unpleasant, so there is no strong liking or disliking in the mind. And as I said, Vedana is present in each moment, with each experience, in body or mind. And we cannot prevent Vedana from happening. But we can be more skillful in our reaction, or in our dealing with this Vedana. So we can be careful of not falling into these habitual reactions of latching on to something that is pleasant, not wanting to let go, or when unpleasant Vedanas are there, not falling into the trap of reacting with pushing away, aversion, and so on. Or not falling into indifference and the mind just becomes dull. Of course, because these reactions are so habitual and strongly conditioned, it's not so easy to say, okay, I will not fall into the reaction of wanting, holding on, then pleasantly even arises. It happens, but with heightened awareness, we can know that the mind has reacted with wanting, holding on. Or we can know aversion has come up, ill will. And then we can be aware of these states. I just want to briefly mention the other two satipatthanas, foundations of mindfulness. The third one is to be mindful of the mind in the sense of to know in which state the mind is, or kind of to know the climate of the mind. Is the mind agitated, or is it calm? Is it compassionate? Is it angry? Is it collected? Is the mind dispersed? So just these different states of mind. To be aware, the mind is restless. To know. Or to know the mind is collected, concentrated. Or the mind is full of kindness or compassion, or there is jealousy in the mind. That's the third foundation, and the fourth foundation is the mindfulness of dhammas, or mind objects, or could also be defined as mindfulness of different categories of experiences. And in the discourse where the Buddha explained them, he gave a list of different categories of experiences. I don't want to go into all of them, it would be too much, take too much time. Just to mention a few or a couple of them. One of them is what Patricia mentioned last night, the five difficult mind states. So wanting, not wanting, sleepiness, sloppy torpor, restlessness, and the skeptical doubt. So if any of these experiences come up, you are aware of it, and then that would fall into this fourth foundation. Other experiences that belong to this foundation are the different sense experiences, like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, or the thinking. So whenever we are aware that we hear some sound, so being aware of the hearing, so this experience could be put into this foundation of mindfulness. And so with these four foundations of mindfulness, the whole range of our experience is included. There's nothing outside these four foundations of mindfulness. The whole world of our experience is just within within that. So when you go back to practice, forget about this classification. Just go back to the simple experience of warmth, the simple experience of movement, the simple experience of knowing the mind is restless, and so on. This is what matters. This is what brings about clear insight and understanding. And I like to finish this talk with a quote from Sayadaw Upandita, Burmese meditation master. And after that you stay, you sit quietly for a few moments. So he said, "We do not practice meditation to get admiration from others, but we practice meditation to contribute to peace and harmony in the world." I thank you for your kind attention.